Good evening. Time being 7 o'clock, I call the May 22nd, 2025 meeting of the Franklin Town Council to order. Please pause for a moment of silence. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All citizens are welcome to attend public meetings in person. To view the live meeting remotely, citizens are encouraged to watch the live stream on the Franklin Town Hall TV YouTube channel or the live broadcast on Comcast Channel 9 and Verizon Channel 29. Meetings are also archived by Franklin TV on the Franklin Town Hall TV YouTube channel and shown on repeat on Comcast Channel 9 and Verizon Channel 29 for those who missed the live meeting. To listen to the meeting remotely, citizens may call in using the number 929-205-6099. This will not permit participation in the meeting. To participate in the meeting remotely, citizens are able to join a Zoom webinar using the Zoom webinar ID 818-4858-8745, then you need to hit the pound sign. Once again, the Zoom ID 818-4858-8745, pound. Any participants who wish to speak during the webinar must enter their full name and email address when joining the webinar. All participants will be automatically muted upon joining the webinar, and in order to speak, participants who have entered full name and email address will need to select the raise hand function to request to be unmuted. All speakers will be required to state their full name and street address before commenting. Okay, tonight we have Councillor Chandler and Councillor Pellegrini, who are both a little under the weather this evening and will not be attending either in person or on Zoom. Next item on the agenda is citizens' comments. Citizens are welcome to express their views for up to 3 minutes on a matter that is not on the agenda. In compliance with General Laws, Chapter 30A, Section 20, the open meeting law, the council cannot engage in a dialogue or comment on a matter raised during citizens' comments. The town council may ask the town administrator to review the matter, and nothing herein shall prevent the town administrator from correcting a misstatement of fact during citizens' comments. Is there anyone in council chambers that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? Steve, name and address, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Steve Sherlock, 13 Magnolia, Community Information Director, Franklin Mattis, Franklin Public Radio. Memorial Day weekend, major event on Monday. If Franklin residents are not aware, the Memorial Day Parade has changed its start time and its route. There's information through Facebook, the veterans page, ShirleyFranklin.news has it as well. For a couple of reasons, I interviewed the American Legion and VFW coordinators in order to do that. But primarily to minimize the impact on the veterans who were marching, because if you remember the prior one, the parade would start and then stop and wait for 15 minutes, and then continue and then stop, wait for 15 minutes. That was tiring to the veterans. So they've taken those three ceremonies out. They're going to be held earlier at 9:30, 9:45, and 10. You can go to those separately. The parade starts at 11, Harris Main Field, comes up Union to Emmons, back Main Street, so go to the Common, you can see it twice. Franklin TV will be recording, not broadcasting, but we will be recording and then sharing the video later. So, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, is there anyone else in council chambers that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? Is there anyone out there in Zoom land that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? I don't see anybody. Do you, Amy? Okay, moving on. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes from April 30th, 2025.
So moved. Second.
Motion and second. Discussion, additions, deletions. Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. We do have a series of public hearings this evening. The first public hearing, and I will declare this public hearing open, license modification, change of LLC managers, and change of ownership, beneficial membership, interest of Section 12 restaurant, all alcoholic beverage license, Franklin Shed LLC, doing business as the Shed, located at 340 East Central Street, Franklin. Jamie, you want to do a quick lead-in?
Very minimal, because Mr. Cornett is here.
Yeah.
We're familiar with Mr. Cornett, so
we know he's got. Over this
we know he's got. Yeah, but this is just a change of ownership and manager for the delicious restaurant across the street, and I'm sure Rich will go into a little bit more detail.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the council. Thank you for meeting tonight. I know this is not your regular evening, so we do appreciate you coming out in this lovely weather. As the town administrator indicated, this is an application for the approval of a transfer of the membership ownership interest in, as well as revising the managers slash officers of the LLC. So what that essentially means is that, and joining me, I should mention, in the back we have Michael Barker, who is one of the principal owners of the Shed, as well as his now to-be partner, Syed Azair, back here. And if you recall, there were two owners originally. Mike has a partner, which is Mark Griffin. And the two of them started the business out. And as most businesses in the hospitality industry go, you realize there are some really key essential people that work with you and for you that you elevate at some point to be co-owners of this enterprise, and that's what's happening here. So the gentlemen, Michael and Mark, have decided they're going to be transferring a percentage interest to Mike's brother, Greg, who's an essential component to the enterprise, as well as Saeed. And so that there would be, these gentlemen will share equal ownership in the business. And we have provided you in your application packages the ABCC five-page or so application with all the information, the queries for all of these gentlemen. Even though Mike and Mark have already gone through and been vetted, we do it again per ABCC regulations. And I've also included a lot of the corporate paperwork that would be indicating that this transfer has been duly approved by the entity. And we will also be amending the records with the Secretary of State's office to show that because this is an LLC, we use the term manager to indicate the party that are responsible for operations of the LLC. And these four gentlemen will be all listed on that per year, you know, any year approval of that. So pretty straightforward, but should you have any questions, I'm certainly available to answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. This is a public hearing, So I would look to the public. Is there anyone in council chambers that has a question or a comment or a statement regarding this license modification? Okay, seeing none in council chambers, is there anyone out there in Zoom land that would like to speak on this license modification? See anybody in the room, Amy? Okay, now I'll go to the council. Councilors, any councilor have any questions or comments? Councilor Jones.
Just great place. I mean, that's, I mean, you guys, great delivery for your great location. But I wish you guys the best of luck with this. These changes, your future is bright.
Councilor DeLocco.
Thank you. I agree with that. Councilor Jones, happen to know all four of these people for a long time. They're great people, great for the community. So anything we can help for them, it's always a benefit. They're always there to help the community. So all in favor of this.
Thank you, Councilor DeLocco. Any other councilors? Councilor Hamlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, I just want to say I don't think I knew that people did that in the hospitality industry, and I think that's really a great idea. I like that a lot, to support your staff and make them part of it and have some ownership in it. I think that's really interesting and positive, and this is pretty easy. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Hamlin. Any other councilors? I think the only statement I'd make, great place, I'd agree with my fellow councilors, what's been said. Wednesday nights, if you could stay open. So that we have a place to go.
Maybe we should change some bylaws for that.
We could add a fourth light.
See. Good work on that earlier.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't say much, but when it does.
All right, so seeing no other questions or comments, I will declare the public hearing on this license modification closed. And as we generally do, we'll address the license transaction right away so that folks don't have to stay around if they don't need to. So license transaction. Or license modification, I should say. Change of LLC managers and change of ownership. Interest of Section 12 restaurant, all alcohol beverage license. Franklin Shed LLC doing business as The Shed, located at 340 East Central Street, Franklin, Mass. Clerk will read the license modification.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a change of LLC managers and change of ownership for beneficial membership. For the Franklin Shed LLC, doing business as The Shed, located at 340 East Central Street, Franklin, Mass. 02038. Franklin Shed LLC, doing business as The Shed, located at 340 East Central Street, Franklin, Mass. 02038. Is seeking approval for multiple modifications of their Section 12 restaurant all alcoholic beverages license to include a change of the LLC managers and change in ownership, which is the beneficial interest. All departments have signed off on this application, and this, Mr. Chairman, is a motion to approve the request by the Franklin Shed LLC, doing business as The Shed, for a change of LLC managers and change of ownership beneficial interest.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, next public hearing is on, stare right there, Richard. Next public hearing is the transfer, change of location, approval of manager of a Section 15 wine and malt beverage package store license. Davita's Market LLC, doing business as Davita's Market, located at 198 East Central Street, Suite 2, Franklin, Mass. And I would declare this public hearing open. Do you want to start, Ken?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chairman. So really quickly, items B and C are related to each other on the agenda. So I just want to make sure everybody's clear about that. It would require obviously two different votes. And this is for the transfer of license. This is for off-premise consumption, just so people are clear, unlike the previous application, which was on-premise. And just also so we're clear, we are, as you all remember, with on-premise consumption, we have an unlimited quota of licenses. Right. Which whoever, again, made that decision back in the early 80s should have a statute built somewhere. It was a great economic development tool that the town did back then. However, we don't have that luxury of wine and malt or all alcohol off-premises package store goods. These two applications are for the transfer, the change of location, as well as the approval of the manager. So. I just want to make sure everybody is aware that both of the votes will encompass those details. So, caught him out of my peripheral vision. So yeah. It sounds like the town attorney wants to jump in before I go to Mr. Cornett.
I'm sure he would. Attorney Sorrell.
Only to the point of, and I've discussed this informally, opening both hearings and letting them proceed simultaneously.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Then I will declare the transfer and change of location and approval of manager of a Section 15 all alcoholic beverage package store license, Table and Vine Incorporated, located at 348 East Central Street, Franklin, Mass. I will declare that public hearing open as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Richard Cornetta, representing the applicant in this particular application, which is Vivita's Market LLC. If I could, maybe I'll do some introductions.
Sure.
To my right is Michael Gold. He is corporate counsel. I'm sorry, I don't know your title, but with Big Y Supermarkets. Table and Vine. And of course, John Hickey, attorney, representing Michael Donovan. I also, in the audience, I should probably, Mike is here as well, Michael Donovan. Joe Halligan, as everyone knows, he is the principal of the applicant, which is Vivita's Market LLC. It's a little confusing with the similar name, so I'll try to clarify for the board. Then we have Batsy Patel, which is next to Joe. He is going to be the named manager on this prospective license coming forward. Got everybody. So as the introduction was made by town council, these two applications are inextricably linked, not only by law, because you can't have more than one license at one location, but also contractually, because we all have been working together over several months to craft this deal, which we are very positive about. We think that we're going to achieve a number of things in doing this tonight, but first of which is that Mr. Donovan, who has operated Vivita's Market for the better part, I don't mean to step on your toes, John, but the better part of 46 years, and Vivita's has been around since 1927, I believe the sign said when I drove by, I know, because I was a kid who used to go in there. So it's one of our legacy markets that have slowly disappeared in town, and it is kind of neat to have a market like that that's still in existence. As you know, this board, this council entertained a prior application by another third party to transfer that license last year, and the council was gracious enough to approve that. Unfortunately, as sometimes it happens, there were a number of deficiencies with the property that the town had identified. And so because of that, it became a little bit of a contractual issue, and so that deal never came to fruition, never closed. But fortunately, we have a new deal that we think is actually better for the parties that we're presenting to you tonight that involves these three players. Mr. Halligan has started a new company, an LLC, DeVita's Market LLC, of which this entity has contracted with Mr. Donovan's corporation, DeVita's Inc., to purchase that business. In review of the location, the business itself, and looking at it from a operational standpoint, knowing that there are a number of improvements that are necessary there, the decision was made that given the limited footprint within the DeVita's Market, it didn't make a lot of sense to have the full alcohol retail package license, and that it may make sense to scale it down, offer better, more diverse offerings in the malt beverage and wine area, and it would still work with the business model. Enter Table and Vine, Big Y, who has been, as you know, has been kind of on the hunt for an additional license, you know, years back. In fact, Mike and I were both here together before you to get the beer and wine license that they have currently used. But they made no bones about the fact that, you know, it would be nice, and they've heard it from their customer base, that they have the availability to offer a wider offering of alcohol. You have patrons coming in the store, you've got children in carriages, you want to minimize your trips, you're buying groceries, you're able to really knock everything out at that one location. Flash forward, and Big Y, or Table and Vine, was before the council seeking an exchange of license similar to what we're proposing this evening, and the council had a problem with that proposal, and I believe that the reasons that were given at the time were that it involved a license from on the other end of town. It was an all alcohol license that was on the western side of town. And there was a concern that you were going to make this side of town a little top heavy with all alcoholic licenses. So the votes were not there, and the council was not favorable to that proposal. And the reason why I bring that up is because I know in talking with Mike, we've worked together over the years, and he and Big Y, Table and Vine, elected not to appeal that decision, being a good corporate neighbor, felt that they would be patient and wait their opportunity, and we hope that tonight is that opportunity. So as I mentioned, Mr. Halligan is uniquely positioned to be the party to come forward and purchase the DeVita's Market for a number of reasons, not the least of which is he has a rich history in town. He's one of the residents, taxpayers. He also has a business here in town. He has served on many boards, from the planning board, the master planning committee, to the zoning board of appeals. And so he has a unique perspective and appreciation for what DeVita's represents to the town of Franklin. And his intention is to do what is necessary to bring it up to code, and he's already had communications with the building commissioner. I believe this has even gone through tech review. There's been some discussion about keeping, because it's important to keep the store open, because the last time Mr. Donovan tried to do an exchange, he reported that he saw almost 25% loss in revenue. So with this industry and that business, it's very important to keep it running. But Mr. Halligan is committed to Gus's office that he'll have it done in 90 days. He'll upgrade whatever is necessary, most notably the installation of a grease trap at that location. Because Mike Donovan's been very successful in creating a very robust weekday lunch business there for a lot of the contractors and those that work in town, which Mr. Halligan is committed, and Bonzi is committed to continue that legacy that Mr. Donovan has progressed over the years. I should mention Mr. Patel, Bonzi Patel, who will be the manager. His resume has been included in the package. Mr. Patel is TIPS certified. He's been working in the industry for over 4 years, from various roles, principally responsible for compliance with state law, ID verification, and making sure that you're selling properly to the people you should be selling to. So we believe he has that experience and that certification to serve as the named manager on the license. I should speak a little bit about public need, because as Attorney Searle and I had discussed, you know, these transfer locations can be somewhat touchy with towns, particularly where there may be a lot of feelings about, well, you know, you may be harming a business by moving one license from here to there. But the law in Massachusetts is Chapter 138, Section 23, and it states that when you make your decision about this transferring of a license, you should make an assessment as to whether it will serve the public need and in such a manner as to protect the common good. What does that mean? Well, the case law in Massachusetts has kind of borne this out, and if you look at the various cases, they've kind of set forth some criteria that you apply. And if you give me a moment, I'll just kind of quickly touch on some of them to give you a sense as to what councils consider when they consider such a move or license. Proximity to schools, well, we have no schools in this area. It's a commercial corridor here, and we do have a church that's there, but they kind of came after these businesses were established. You look at number of existing dispensaries, just like you did the last time. You felt that, you know, maybe one license on one side of town didn't make sense bringing it over here, making it a little top heavy. I think it's important to note that the two licenses that we have here that we're exchanging are less than a half mile from each other. They're located in the same geographical area. We all know, I mean, we travel this road, Davita's where it is, Big Y where they are. So I don't believe, I think we're in a very unique situation where there really is no, I think there would be no impacts if you were to move the license. In fact, it might even be a benefit for traffic reasons. Let's face it, Big Y spent quite a bit of money putting that light out there. They have a large parking area, and so they're probably more suited to the higher volume that you might see with the all alcohol sales. Where the Vitas years ago, I mean, that was, you know, they function there, but it may alleviate some of the traffic conflicts that exist. Noise, size, sort of operation. Well, the nice thing we have here is that we have two existing businesses. They've been in business for many years, well established, so there is no concern that you're going to be introducing a license into an area that would be completely foreign and new to that area that would create all kinds of potential problems. We don't have that situation here. You also look at the reputation of the applicant. Well, as I stated, I mean, we've got Mr. Halligan, who has you know, close ties to the community and is committed to the legacy market to continue Davita's. We have Big Y, who's been you know, a great corporate neighbor since they've come into town, not just providing the clean services that we expect, but they also, and Mike can speak to this, I'm sure, but they're also supportive of a lot of causes in the area that are dear to a lot of us. And of course, Mr. Donovan, who's been slugging it out for 46 years, created, you know, a marketplace, carried the Davita's name from 1927, and this is his opportunity to finally retire and sell the business for his family. I mentioned traffic, that's another concern, but I do think traffic is something that we could look at and say, you know, this might be better given the locations. I will close with the same comment I made, I think, back when we were before you, when Big Y, or Table and Vine, was applying for the malt and wine license. And the concern then is always, you know, the concern now is that, you know, and I understand, you know, the counselor's deliberations on this, where you're concerned about maybe saving or not harming other businesses. by making your decision tonight. But I would suggest to you that the law is pretty clear in this area. The competition with existing licensed establishments is never a valid rationale to deny a license transfer. I would cite the case of Great Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company versus Licensed Commissioners of Springfield. It's a 1982 case. It's still valid today. And so, in fact, in that case, if you read it, they mentioned that in many cases, competition would serve to benefit the community rather than to harm the community. And so I would just leave you with that thought that you may hear tonight concern that it's going to, you know, this move will harm businesses, but we don't believe it will. In fact, it is something that is not really something to be considered by the council. So with that, I would be available for any questions, and I defer to my colleagues here if they'd like to speak.
Sure. Well, I just want to add a couple things. Thank you, Rich. I'm going to talk about Big Y and Table and Vine together, if that's right. Table and Vine's a wholly owned subsidiary of Big Y. It's effectively our liquor subsidiary. But you know, we operate clean and safe stores. As Rich said, we're a good neighbor. We employ locally. We give a lot of teenagers their first job. We wouldn't be spending the money or taking our time or your valuable time if we didn't think that this would be a plus for the Franklin customers. We operate liquor within seven other supermarkets in the state of Massachusetts, and in every other location we have a full all alcohol license because that's what our customers want. They want to come in, they ask for it. We wouldn't be here if we didn't think this would be good and the customers would support that. We're safe. If you've ever been in our stores, you know, when you ring up the alcohol, the point of sale system locks up and they can't go further unless they ask for an ID and they get the date of birth. And if the cashier is under 18, the system knows that and it won't let the cashier finish that transaction, and they have to go get someone who's over 18, a supervisor, to complete the transaction. We've been selling beer and wine for a number of years, and we've been doing it safely, not only in Franklin, but in all the towns in Massachusetts. At least for the 20 years I've been here, we haven't had a problem. I don't want to get too deep into competition, customers. I agree with what Rich said. I do want to talk for 1 second about a change of manager, so I don't forget to do that. We also have a change of manager. Greg Mata, who's been our manager for a number of years, is getting transferred to another store. We tend to do that. We kind of rearrange the deck chairs periodically, but we were lucky. We're going to have Crystal Bigler, who's also back here, is proposed to be our new manager. She's been with Big Y for about 2.5 years, and she recently went through a store director training program, and during this time she was exposed to all aspects of store operations in multiple locations and worked in stores where we have Table and Vine liquor departments. And prior to her Big Y time, she spent time with another retailer and she managed a location that sold alcohol. So she has experience, and also she has, it's not technically TIP certification, but she has the professional server certification regarding the responsible serving of alcohol. And you have her information, and Crystal is here if you have any questions for her.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Just very briefly, I'm speaking third, I have probably the fewest number of minutes. I will be brief. DeVita's Incorporated, I represent DeVita's Incorporated, and that corporation is Michael Dunbar. And it's his wife, and it's his three daughters, and his sister Annie. And many, many people from Franklin over the years who have worked there, and people not living in Franklin who have worked there. It's been in operation continuously since 1927. Mr. Cordetta might have misspoken, but I thought he said he was remembers it back when he was a child. Not that surprising. Michael and his dad bought DeVita's in 1978, his father James, who's passed. And for the next 4 years they worked together, father and son. In 1982, Michael became the sole owner. And since 1982, 47 in total, he has operated DeVita's pretty much every day on his own. I see him, I live in the area, I see him every day, back and forth. I wave to him often, yell to him often, he doesn't respond. Lost in the preparation of porchettas and his products, as I assure you. But with the help of his wife and his children, who have grown up there, I've seen some of them grow up at the Vitas. He has been an institution in town, and so has his store. He's now 68 years old. He's had some health problems. It's time for him to move on. It's time for him to sell the property. He's tried a couple of times, as you've heard. It's a wonderful opportunity for him and his family to sell the Vitas, but not to end the Vitas, to make the Vitas carry on in the hands of a local gentleman, Mr. Halligan. The Vitas will stay essentially unchanged, but for a reduction from full alcohol license to a beer and wine license. And in some ways, that may assist in the competition here on this side of town. So for those reasons, and like I said, I'll be brief, I'd ask the board to consider approving this transfer, because it keeps the Vitas without changing it. Essentially, the name will stay the same. You can go there for beer and wine and for a good sandwich. And the only thing we'll be missing, and it's a great loss, frankly, is Michael Donovan and his wonderful family. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, again, this is a public hearing, or these are public hearings. So I will go to the public first. Is there anyone in council chambers that would like to speak on either of these license transfers? Please. Just name and address, please.
Hello, everybody. I'm Mark Lindsay. I'm here representing my family business, Franklin Liquors, which is 333 East Central Street, which is basically directly across from the Big Y. At first, I just want to say, give you a picture, you all know how close we are. If you're on my front door, you're looking at the Big Y. If you're at my street sign, you're looking at the Big Y street sign. If you leave my parking lot across 140, you're in the Taj Apartments. It's connected to the Big Y parking lot. If you go one telephone pole distance, you're in the Starbucks parking lot, which is connected to the Big Y parking lot. If you go three telephone poles, you're in Big Y. So that's how close we are. I just want to, again, remind you, as Mr. Canetta said, in 2022, late 2022, Big Y did come before you, asking to transfer that Village Mall license. And at that time, the town said no. Each and every one of you, plus the two councils that are here, said no. And at that time, as Mr. Canetta said, they did not appeal to the state ABCC, because your decision was just. You made a town decision that was accepted by them at that time. I also want to give you an example. In 2014, I think Mr. Jones and Mr. Mercer, probably only two people here then, where a Union Street convenience store wanted just beer and wine, and the town said no, because across the street was Union Street Liquors. So we have the 2022 no, the 2014 no. There's also many examples within the state where towns say no because stores are across from one another. Just recently, the end of 2024 in Milford, Mac Package was across the street from Shaw's Plaza. They wanted to add a liquor license into the plaza. Town of Milford said no, because there's two stores across from one another. So those are just town and state examples of saying no. So you may be thinking or heard, well, this situation sounds very similar to the BJ situation I was here twice for and that we talked about. Let me tell you why that is absolutely not true. BJ's and Poor Richard's were right next to each other. Nobody was around them. It would be the same if Big Y bought my license and we just swapped across the street. That would be the same. The difference also is in control. I want you to think about this. They talk about the ABCC, the tips and all that. What about security and control? I mentioned this to you a lot. You heard in the past, BJ says we have great security cameras. Big Y has great security cameras. Honestly, everybody has great security cameras. I heard you last night saying the high school has 1,000 cameras except for the bathrooms, right? I mean, everybody has it, but how does that control the alcohol? Is there someone watching that camera, watching that alcohol? Is there someone in that store watching the alcohol? Or are they in the other part of the state watching? If someone walks in, picks up a bottle and walks out, or picks up anything and walks out of that store, is the policy to stop them, to confront them? What do they do? Is there a manager there watching that? What is that situation? The difference at BJ's, you've all been there, there's a person at that door. You don't walk out of there without them checking what you have. So consider control, big difference, right? Now, the Lindsay family business and the Vita family business, as you heard, combined, we've 100 years in this town. And over the years, we supported each other. And examples of that would be when DeVita's went for beer and wine, we did not oppose it. When DeVita's went for liquor, upgrade, we didn't oppose it. Why? Because there was public need at that end of 140, public need at this end of 140, right? And I also want to remind you, in 2022, when Big Y was here the last time, Mike supported us, asking you to say no to that upgrade because it was too close to him and he's down the street from me. So I want you to think of that. And, well, that's what I thought. Also, just many times I've been before you fighting for my business. I'm honestly, you're tired of me, I'm sure. And I come to you with concerns of control, concerns of public need, and Mr. Canetta brought up the public need, and I'm sure the attorney will tell you. It's very broad on public need. How you can go either way with that. And if you look at the decisions within state, it can go either way. But you set what the public need is for this town. The license, liquor license, is not mine, it's not Mike DeVita, it's not Big Y, it's yours. You can take it away from me, you can give it to who you want. It's not a guarantee. Doesn't matter the business transaction, doesn't matter retirement implications. You decide what to do. You said no before, you can say no again. Please say no. Let them keep beer and wine, let that license stay where it is. And he can sell it again. He's done it before. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in council chambers that would like to speak on either of these license transfers? Is there anyone out there in Zoom land that would like to speak on either of these license transfers? See anybody dealing? Okay, I'll go to the council. Councilor, call me a letter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess this is to Attorney Cornetta. Is the sale already a done deal, or is it contingent on the transfer of the full license?
Oh, it's contingent on the transfer of both of the licenses, the exchange of the licenses.
So the buyer is not interested in the DeVita property if this doesn't go through?
No, the way that the deal is structured with Big Y, this is the only way it will work for this group.
So essentially the sale of the full liquor license is a major component of the sale of the transaction?
That's correct. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chief.
Thank you, Councilor Cormier-Ledger. Any other councilors? Councilor Frangillo.
Yeah, I guess I'd be looking for advice from our legal counsel. We've heard sort of two different definitions of public need. It seems like if there would ever be a reason that there wouldn't be public need, it'd be if something was going directly across the street from another location. Is that accurate? Is that a ground for denying based on public need?
So, as Attorney Quinetta read the language in the statute, is somewhat ambiguous, if you will. We have a series of court decisions, not only the one cited by him, but a more recent case, Ballatin, both from the appeals court, and they flesh it out. What they all do is make it very clear that business competition is not a ground to deny a license. The public need is within a geographical area, and in this case, this is very similar to, if not legally the same as, the BJ's transaction, which had to come back for a rehearing because we were going to lose at the ABCC. How do we know we were going to lose at the ABCC? Because we had the particular guidance of Dean College case, where there was no justifiable grounds as far as the ABCC was concerned. After a detailed hearing in which Chair Mercer took part, I believe, the ABCC then in turn made very detailed findings and supplied us with that decision, and basically rejected as unsupportable, either on a legal basis such as competition or pure speculation about things that were going to happen that there was no proof would have. So the bottom line is, as far as I'm concerned, it's very clear the public needs already been established in this general area by the licenses that are available. We're just moving them around within that area. These, the ones who are licensed, the businesses, nobody in my experience has had any non-compliance or violations. They've all been good, so that is influential. That was an issue with the, which was raised in the BJ's situation. And as an aside, you can't cherry pick either on a number of levels legally between a bar and power operation and a small chain and a bigger chain and a box store, whatever. Those are irrelevant considerations legally. The only issue is the ability, the public need, and the ability of whoever the applicant is to adequately satisfy that need.
Okay, but the Dean College and the BJ's, and I appreciate that this guy. So the Dean College and the BJ's were not liquor licenses. We're not two liquor licenses being placed across the street from each other. So those feel a little different.
Dean had some locations that were fairly close. That was a justification.
That was part of the justification. Yeah. Okay. So it's your understanding that area and some type of geographic area.
There are limits. First of all, if it's something new addition coming in, it will be a relevant consideration. If an extra license came in, such as was the case with the original Big Y application, you could perhaps argue there's sufficient licenses in this area already.
Right.
But in this case, we're not adding a license, we're simply moving locations within a half a mile of each other.
And the liquor to beer doesn't matter for that consideration? You know, that there could be a public need for beer and not a public need for liquor?
To be perfectly honest, the distinction between beer, wine, malt, and alcohol, hard alcohol, is something that came out of the post-prohibition era. It probably doesn't make a lot of sense today. One of the driving factors, and I'll defer to Mike, but of the all alcohol licenses, is that they've got these spritzes and things out there that are hard alcohol. They're considered hard alcohol. And you can't sell them under a beer and wine license.
Right, like a High Noon, you can't sell High Noon under a beer and wine license, but you can sell White Claw.
Or so any of the it's all kind of mixed. But that being said, we have to deal with the law as it is, as it has been interpreted by both the ABCC and the courts.
Okay, and through you, can you remind us again what happens if we get a, if we put forth a decision that then gets rejected by the ABCC? What are the ramifications for that? How much staff time does that take? Do we have to, you know, expend any effort?
Yes. So first of all, it's an administrative appeal to the ABCC. Yes, it takes time, not only staff time, but unpaid volunteer time, because you have to file a paperwork with them. Ultimately, they set it down for an administrative hearing, so you have to prepare for that. It would probably take place by Zoom as opposed to having to physically go in there, so that's an advantage, but nevertheless, it's, the hearing itself takes a certain amount of time. Once a decision comes down, you, assuming they overturned you, you have to, it then comes back to the council to reconsider. If the council holds to their original decision, the appeal is then to the Superior Court. And that's a limited review by the Superior Court. It's not the same. The ABCC is a de novo or a completely new hearing. And then they compare that to what happened previously. And oh, by the way, you've also got everybody in limbo who's in the businesses that are subject to this. That's what happened with BJ's and particularly Poor Richard's. They were caught up in limbo, couldn't do anything. They couldn't proceed ahead with their either consummating the transaction or moving on with their lives.
One more, if I may.
Sure.
All very helpful, and certainly not try to be difficult. This was sort of advised to us last time that it would take, you know, this time during a hearing. But it's my understanding that with the BJ's, they gave us a sort of a flag, a heads up, that it wouldn't go forward, and it gave us the opportunity to change our mind without having to have a lengthy hearing, or you know, for you to have to show up in front of a board. Is that, do I have that correct?
It actually originated with counselors who had wanted to revisit the issue. So we knew it wasn't going to be simply an exercise of futility, but that there were counselors who had voted no, who were going to reconsider, and provided a sufficient basis that we reached an agreement to come back again, expedite time to minimize legal fees to the other parties and all. And that's why that played out the way it did.
We never received advisement from ABCC. They never
talked. They were basically passive players as far as how that played out.
Okay. Yeah, all very helpful info. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Frangillo. Councilor Sheridan?
Yeah, so the question is, I guess the idea about safety, somebody watching your room that does not available either, if they have to be why has a good record, if not.
Again, it's a total speculation thing. Yeah. I mean, you've heard a description. BJ's actually gave you the whole description as part of their presentation. What you actually look at, the track record. Table and Vine has had that beer and wine license for I don't know how long.
14 years.
13, 14. Violation of our enforcement stings. There's been no independent violations. They've run a clean operation, and that's so presumably whatever they're doing, they've been doing it right.
If you had any violations with the hard liquor, anywhere?
No. I mean, in Massachusetts, as I said, we have seven other full liquor licenses in supermarkets. We also have a large table and vine package store, which is out in West Springfield. We've been here 20 years, no violations in Massachusetts.
I think it's the last thing you, that you don't sell NIPS thing.
No, no, that's not our, we're not planning to sell NIPS.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Sheridan. Councilor Hamlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, through the chair. I was wondering, Mr. Lindsay mentioned control, and I was, can they tell us how they can, how they would control it? Do they have cameras that watch in case somebody, maybe the new manager can
we
tell
do,
us?
I can tell you, we have cameras everywhere, and we certainly watch the store. I mean, we're, I'm not going to say that everything in the store is as expensive as alcohol or as regulated as alcohol, but certainly we're concerned about things walking away throughout the entire store. So we train on that, and we have a whole asset protection department. We have undercover asset protection reps who are in and out of the stores, and we have a very sophisticated network of control for the entire store, not just for the liquor. And clearly, we'd be concerned if there was a lot of theft of the liquor.
And again, if this were a new operation, that might be a relevant consideration. But again, they've been selling alcohol. The same as BJ's had been selling in a warehouse and had not had any issues.
Right.
So it becomes purely speculation under those circumstances.
Thank you, Attorney Sorrell. I have a quick question for Mr. Patel. I noticed on your application, you have two part-time jobs now, right? But you have all this compliance and training that you've done in your other jobs. I think that's awesome. I really love that. Will you be able to only have one job now, or are you going to have three part-time jobs? Like, I'm kind of... I'm just worried for you, that's all, because that's a lot of work.
So, for right now, the way that it kind of works is that you go into a new business, be there for about 6 months to a year, have new staff come in, teach them new systems, whatever needs to be done, and it's generally running by itself. So, whereas on my resume, it's not that I'm actively going in 9 to 5 every day.
Thank you. I like the idea of keeping the Davidas name and the heritage that's there in that spot. I like that. So thank you all. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Councilor Hamlin. Councilor DeLorto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is probably to Mark. Mark, I mean, every time we come here, all you talk about is that we can't. What would justify us to say no? What would be a justification?
Well, I gave you a simple example for this. If somebody were seeking to bring an additional license into this area, given all the existing licenses, that arguably the public need is already satisfied.
So if I don't want it into a supermarket, that's not good enough?
No.
No.
Absolutely not. Well,
I don't want the kids to be around alcohol.
What?
I don't want the kids around alcohol. Did you? I mean, I'm voting no anyway. I don't care what you think, but I'm just saying it shouldn't be in liquor. It shouldn't be in supermarkets. That's just my opinion. And I don't think that customers came in and said, "Oh, I wish we had liquor here." That's a bunch of crap too. So. And this doesn't against Mike. I want to see Mike retire, but Mike also was here fighting against him. Now he's switching back. That doesn't fly with me.
Mr. Mercer, can I follow up a question with
in a second?
Okay.
Go ahead,
Councilor Jones.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He was all set.
Just a point of clarification. You to Mark. And again, this is just to reiterate the facts. And the facts are that, yes, we voted no against Big Y and Table and Vine taking on a license that had originally existed in a demographic that was central, more central to the town and met the public need in that area, which would have added, if I'm correct, 3 licenses to this side of the town have had that license gone through, correct? That was the justification for saying no, was the fact that this would have added additional licenses to this side of town and basically taken away from an area that was currently being served and would have caused, for all intents and purposes, an imbalance in the public's need. This, in my opinion, is simply just moving one license from one address on East Central Street to another address on East Central Street. This is two of the same licenses within the same general demographics. Am I correct?
Yeah.
I don't see any problem with moving it from one point to another point. I have faith in the Table of Nine to manage their products. I've got the record to prove so. This isn't affecting the public's need because it's simply in the general location of this side of town. It's not like we're adding anymore or subtracting anymore from the neighborhood. It's just very hard to argue no against something when it's really just going from one address to another address on the same street. My question.
The Council DeLorco, I just as a point of observation, the legislature in their wisdom has actually made a determination that alcohol in supermarkets not only is appropriate, but they've expanded over a period of time the number of licenses that are available just for supermarkets. So that decision was made by the legislature, and we would be bound by it if it were to come up in a...
We shouldn't even be here. It should be all done through the ABC. That's what it should be.
I don't disagree. That would be nice. I wish the ABC would just come in and take it.
And take it. This is ridiculous.
They tell us what we can't do. Excuse me, it's my turn now.
Yeah.
then I'll get you. I've sat through a number of these, and I understand Councilor DeLarco's concerns with not wanting kids around alcohol. But the legislature's done their thing and said, it's okay. The ABC comes in and tells us what we can do, what we can't do. Well, if they're going to do that, do the whole job. It's frustrating for me. I sat through three of these, if not four, where we've said no, and we come back and we have to approve it. And we spend taxpayers' dollars arguing the case that they lose all the time. It's frustrating, but to Mark's point and to Glenn's point, the council, whether this council, prior councils, identified the need in this geographic area. The prior license, as Councilor Jones said, or the prior request came in from another part of town, which would have added a third all alcohol license within a quarter of a mile of one another. Obviously, that's not a need, but we have two. And we have to because at one time, the town council, a town council, identified the need. So saying that there isn't a need is not a reason to deny. And I get the competition, I get the local businesses, the mom and pops, the DeVitas, the Franklin Lakers, I totally understand that and I get that. And by the way, Joe DeVita was a friend of mine, and prior to DeVita's Market, it was Johnny's Grocery when it first opened. And I'm probably the only one in here that remembers when it was.
He was at the grand opening.
And I wasn't at the grand opening of Johnny. So, as frustrating as it is to sit here and have to make these decisions, when the ABC isn't there to back us up, is very frustrating for me as a counselor. And I just wish, I know there's some legislation going on now at the state level. I don't know what's going to happen, but Jamie, you were going to, wanted to say something.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for municipal staff across the state, we've advocated for better regulation on this issue. I can't speak for Amy directly, but I think I would. We are equally as frustrated as all of you in the back and forth, right? Obviously, we're going to do our jobs. We're going to go to the hearings. But as we talked about last night, these are these other things that happen that are part of our jobs, thousands of these things that we do, where this is, and I'm not saying you should approve or deny based on this, but we have to go to the hearings too, and we get frustrated about it. Mark did point out something that is key, which is a lot of this stuff in state law is still post-prohibition era. And Amy and I both worked in the legislature, and we've seen bills. We've seen new people come up there and try, they're gonna change the whole system. At some point, it is going to take the legislature and the governor to essentially make a decision on how to deal with this, whether they're gonna have a North Carolina system where the state runs it, or whether we're gonna continue to go back and forth and put all of you in this awful position of listening to local stakeholders argue over these things. This is also now the second license we've had in a row dealing with a local individual who's trying to retire and has built sweat equity in this business for 40-something years, just like Ann's did, just like Port Richards did. People want to move on with their lives. You know, I think everybody in the room, and I think Mr. Lindsay also has certainly sincere thoughts on that. These are really, really hard. You know, Mike's trying to retire, same thing with Ann, same thing with Ann's Country Market. You know, these are very, very emotional and difficult decisions, and I think maybe when the legislatures, when our legislators come in for their usual summer briefing, I think this has to be a topic maybe we talk to them about at a public session in August or September and ask them, you know, at some point we've got to see the forest from the trees. This is now an hours of our time at these hearings. We got a request recently from a constituent who asked us whether we could delegate this somewhere else, which you need a special act to do that. So you gotta go to a home rule petition through the legislature. It's just a complete waste of time, and I just wanna let you know that we as staff support you guys on this issue a lot. So
tell
I
me what agenda you wanna put it on, and I'll put it on. Mr. Lindsay.
I appreciate the opportunity to speak again.
Yeah, that's okay.
Just real quick. Okay. I just had a couple of points. Through the attorney, in the past, when I've been here many times, you have told the council you can't say no, but you can if you have a history of saying no. Is that not correct?
No.
I don't recall saying what you. I mean, I'm trying to. You know, I'm here so many times. Things stick in my mind, and I know it's been said, if this council says no, you can't say no unless you have a history of saying no. There's a history of saying no. That's just my first thing back. The second thing is the appeal to the ABCC, it can be done by them. They filed, correct?
They're the only ones that can take the appeal.
So there's no town thing, they file it, then it comes to you, which happened with BJ's, right? The committee, the council then can decide to meet again and change their minds, correct? Meanwhile, no cost to the town.
That's not true.
So let me, what's not true? I think I can thread Mark's question. So first of all, the history of no is not a reason to continue to say no. Every single license application that comes before the council is a case-by-case scenario.
We're talking about this case.
No, but the reason why they voted no previously was because of a license on the other side of town where the concentration of licenses was not equitable. And it's not just, by the way, that a third license would come over to this side of town. It was also leaving a deficiency on the other side of town where there were no other liquor licenses available because we had maxed out our quota, which going back to the beginning, which is exactly why I opened this discussion by making sure you are all aware we do not have any other available licenses for beer and wine or alcohol. So it is a case-by-case scenario. I do agree with you that in certain circumstances, if there is a history of no, that may be a reason for denial, but you still have to look at the substance of why those cases were no. So it is not just a one-size-fits-all. If they said no twice before on two other applications, you cannot say, oh, well, this third one is, we have to say no, or we should say no, rather, just because we said no on the previous one or two or three applications. So the history of no is contextual within that. The other comment I would make is, when the BJ's application came up before, there was a factor that I alerted you all to, which was when that application was here, and I can't remember exactly the month, but it was within months of a statewide ballot question, which was geared towards allowing supermarkets to actually have a greater amount of licenses throughout the state. The voters on a statewide ballot question voted no. I would imagine any supermarket chain around the Commonwealth, even whether it was regional, local, Market Basket, or whether it was a Donlin's, it was just a local two-person chain, Johnny's Grocery chain back in the day, or whether it was Shaw's or one of the bigger box stores, every one of those chains was gonna look statewide and say, okay, if we can go from 8 statewide to whatever the number was, 13 or 14, it was phased in over years, every chain was gonna evaluate statewide their business plan. And the fact that Table and Vine did not appeal, okay, was after the fact that that ballot question was rejected. Now, whether their corporate offices thought that that was a reason to not appeal for one reason or another is their decision, okay? But I just wanna make sure everyone's clear. There's a lot more factors involved in a lot of these ongoings than what just meets the eye.
I agree. I think it could go sure. Both ways too. And I just, a lot of times people are saying competition. I never say competition. But I think you have to look at it the opposite way too. Right now, beer and wine sales are dropping. So they can't compete without liquor. So I think you always look, and in all respect to what you do and your job and the attorney's job, the many times I've been before you, every time I talk or someone opposing someone coming here, you always give the counsel guidance for them, every single time. Like tonight, you haven't, one thing you said is about, you know, when I said the retirement thing, you brought it back. I just feel like you always give them advice for the applicant, not the people opposing. That's just my respect to you, but I think that's what I see. And I know they can, and please tell me if I'm wrong, they can say no, and let the state, let them take to the state. If it comes back, you have that same option to bring it up again and see if they really, if they wanted so much for the customers the first time, they would have appealed it. Why did they wait 3 years almost? That's all, I just had to say, because I never say it again after.
Not a problem. Thank you. Okay, any further questions or comments from the council?
Just
one. Sure.
Mr. Chairman, given the fact that we have three members absent this evening that are adamantly opposed to this, I would like to motion to table this to a future meeting.
Excuse me? This is a public hearing.
I'll second that.
There's nothing to second. You can't. We're in a public hearing.
Once that public hearing is closed, would that be the appropriate time that I bring that
when up? When you go to legislation for action, then you could.
There is a time limitation on acting.
Correct. What is that time? You know?
I don't know off the top of my head, but there is it's a relatively short period.
My apologies for not knowing the appropriate time to say.
No issues, I just want to say that, sure. You know, I can't accept it during the public hearing.
Sure.
Okay, any other councilors? Okay, anyone in council chambers? Please, come forward, name and address.
Hi,
Joe Halligan, 1 Google Drive, Franklin. I had no intentions of getting up tonight. I didn't think it would be as contentious as it is. I would just like to express to the council members that I appreciate everything that's been said tonight. I do own the property in the Big Y. I have intentions to purchase the DeVitas. Unintentional. Watching council meetings, I watched the last meeting when they were denied, and they respectfully didn't want to appeal the board because they respected your decisions. Mike and I go in there all the time by sandwiches, we get into conversation. I became aware of the amount of deficiencies in the building and the improvements that need to be done. You're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars in improvements. Mike's relatives also live upstairs, which I intend to keep in the apartments. So we're talking about a few more people that are just in this room. We're talking the livelihoods of people that live upstairs, relatives of Mike. Mike plans on retiring. This is his turn to move on with his ventures. You've seen all the properties I've bought in Franklin. You might see the last one I purchased on Union Street across from Acapulco's. There was a rundown car lot there. Just finishing up the improvements on that because I know it's coming through the master plan on how that area is going to become. I'm trying to get ahead of the game here. I have all intentions of keeping DeVita's market as is. I don't want any rumors to be spread out that Joe's going to tear it down and build multifamily. Not my intentions. I bought my first six-pack there at 18 years old in 1977.
18.
So well, drinking age was 18. Okay, so
I'm going to say in the back corner.
14.
Right. So, drinking age was 18.
And then he'd probably get into it 18.
So I being involved in the master plan, I wanted to keep at least one landmark that we have in Franklin. That most of those landmarks are gone. I do plan on doing extensive work in the building to bring it up to date. I'd like to put a porch along the front with seating out front. I've listened to all the comments of all these boards and how they want to see that, the walkability on the sidewalk and people walk. That's my vision, and that's what I plan to do. There is no intention to tearing that down or making it anything more than it is. Between Rich and I, we come up with the idea, let's see if the name DeVita's Market LLC is available, because I want to keep that going. Rich was lucky enough to get that registered with the state. We plan on carrying on that legacy. It's something that I want to be proud of. That's going to be a landmark at the corner. I'm hoping someday a rotary goes in, and that rotary now marks the frontage of the whole property. I can promise you it's going to be a beautiful site. So there's more involved than just a liquor license. We're talking employment of people that live in Franklin upstairs. We're talking revenue, tax increases. I'm going to upgrade the property. I've got a history of doing that. I love buying wrecks and fixing them. That's how I started out in the auto body work. Now it's into the real estate. And I'm hoping that all can be considered of what the future is. We want to keep bringing Franklin up. And unfortunately, I don't want to speak for Mike, but the cost that was incurred by him is what killed the last deal. And I certainly would love and enjoy to see Mike ride off into the sunset and we get a better product on one floor. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Sure, please.
Yeah, I just want to speak to my character. When Big Y last came for their license, the Lindsays called me and asked me if I'd speak up. And I was just backing up some friends. I didn't care if Big Y came down then. And certainly I would like it now. But it's not like an about face for me. It's just I was just backing up those guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in council chambers?
Can I just make one other quick comment? There was been a lot of talk about why we didn't appeal, and I don't want to really open that up, but we did respect the council. There was a decision. We didn't agree with it. Whether or not there was some gray area, we didn't feel it was right. We operate a business in town. We weren't going to go against the regulators in town and start a fight because we still have to do business here. We chose not to. The other thing is there's a lot of competition arguments, and they've been veiled as other things. But they're all competition arguments. And we're in this same area. We're talking about a liquor license that, by the way, is in a market. It's not in a package store. It's in a market. And I've heard about can't bring the kids in there. Kids don't go into the market. Families don't go in to buy a sandwich. Of course they do. I mean, we're just talking about a different place to sell, a bigger market to sell the alcohol. And if people don't want to come into our location because we sell alcohol, they can go to another supermarket. We'd like them to come to our store but they can go to another supermarket. They don't have to come to our supermarket. We are, believe it or not, we're trying to give our customers something different. That's the way that you survive in the retail business. You have to keep having a compelling and changing product base. I mean, we have a pizza shop because people want it. It didn't put all the pizza shops out of business. You know, we sell pet food and we sell light bulbs and lawn furniture. There's other stores that sell that stuff too. This is a competition argument. We have a liquor license. We operate clean, very safe stores. We do this in other towns throughout the area, and we're talking about moving the license from a market on the same side of the street.
Thank you. Okay, I think we've exhausted. Is there anyone in Zoom land that wanted to speak on either of these license transfers? Okay. All right, I will declare the public hearings on both license transfers closed. And we'll now go to license transactions. And the first license transaction is a change of location and approval of manager of Section 15 wine and malt beer beverage package store license, DeVita's Market, LLC, doing business as DeVita's Market, located at 198 East Central Street, Suite 2, Franklin. Clerk will read the license transaction.
Chairman, after he reads it.
Yeah, let me read it and then offer it.
Mr. Chair, this is a license transaction, transfer of license, change in location, and approval of manager. DeVita's Market, LLC, doing business as DeVita's Market at 198 East Central Street, Franklin, Mass. 02038. DeVita's Market, LLC, DBA, DeVita's Market, located at 198 East Central Street, Franklin, Mass. 02038. Seeking approval for a transfer of its Section 15 wine and malt beverages package store license from Table & Vine Incorporated with a change of location. A said license currently held by Table & Vine Incorporated to be relocated from 348 East Central Street, Franklin, Mass. 02038 to 198 East Central Street, Franklin, Mass. DeVita's Market, LLC, doing business as DeVita's Market. Is also seeking to have Patsani Patel approved as the manager. Issuance of license will be withheld until departments have signed off on this application. Mr. Chairman, this is a motion to approve the request by DeVita's Market, LLC, doing business as DeVita's Market, for transfer of license and change of location of the license currently held by Table & Vine Incorporated to be located from 348 East Central Street, Franklin, Mass. 02038 to 198 East Central Street, Franklin, Mass. And approve Bansani Patel as the manager.
Second.
Motion is second.
Motion to table the license modification to a future meeting.
Second, Mr. Chairman.
Motion and a second. Discussion on the motion to table.
It's non-debatable.
Yeah.
Majority vote.
Majority. Simple majority, right? Present.
Do we have clarification as to the length of time needed post a public hearing? Would we have to do the public hearing again?
No. Public hearing's closed, but my only concern.
What time frame? Do you know the time frame we have to get it onto another agenda?
No, without looking at the statute.
Okay. Would it be safe to say that it would be in time for us to have our next meeting? In other words, our next meeting is?
Well, you get two coming up in June. You got June 4th and June 18th. Just as a reminder, June 4th is your budget night.
Yeah.
June 18th
I wouldn't want to piggyback it on June 4th.
No, in the hearings tonight, and I'm going to guess, my best guess is going to be that June 18th is what, less than a month away?
Less than a month.
So I've got to believe that that's safe within the statute.
I would agree. Yeah. So I think
the default would be the motion, it would be allowed by default.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you
exceed it.
Right.
Okay. I guess in fairness, then I would say, if in fact we find that it's sooner than, I will call a special meeting.
Mm-hmm.
that fair? Is that fair to everybody?
I'm not sure what the, so you're considering tabling the vote this evening?
Tabling the vote.
Because the people who are going to vote against it aren't here? That's the reason?
No, we have a motion on the floor, and any councilor is able to put a motion on the floor to table a piece of legislation, and it's a non-debatable item, so. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. All those in favor of tabling license modification A, signify by saying aye.
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 Those in favor are opposed.
Nay.
It's not a majority, so it fails.
Fails. So motion fails. Okay, so we have a motion on the floor with a second to approve the license modification. Any further discussion on the license modification? Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion to approve license modification A, which is, B, which is the change of location and approval of manager of Section 15 Wine and Malt Beverages Package Store License, Davidas Market. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The ayes have it. Motion carries.
5-1, sir.
Yeah. And we'll move to license transfer B, which is change of location and approval of manager of a Section 15 Wine and Malt Beverage Package Store License, Davidas Market, located at 198 East Central Street, Franklin. Clerk will read the license transfer.
Hmm? No.
Yeah.
That was, you voted on B.
You voted on B.
This is C,
right?
I'm sorry.
I read B.
I apologize. Clerk can read C. How's that?
Thank you, sir.
Sounds good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a transfer license change in location approval of manager, Table and Vibe, Inc., located at 348 East Central Street, Franklin, Mass. 02038. Table and Vibe, Inc., located at 348 East Central Street, Franklin, Mass. 02038, is seeking approval for transfer of its Section 15 Alcohol Beverage Package Store License from Davidas Incorporated, DBA Davidas Market, with the change of location of said license currently held at Davidas Inc., doing business at Davidas Market, to be relocated from 198 East Central Street, Franklin, Mass. 02038 to 348 East Central Street, Franklin, Mass. 02038. Table and Vine Inc. is also seeking to have Crystal Bigler approved as the manager. All departments have signed off on this application. Mr. Chairman, this is a motion to approve the request by Table and Vine Inc. for a transfer of license and change of location of the license currently held by Davidas Inc., DBA Davidas Market, to be relocated from 198 East Central Street, Franklin, Mass. 02038 to 348 East Central Street, Franklin, Mass. 02038, and to approve Crystal Bigler as the manager.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion. Seeing no further discussion, the vote will come on the motion to approve license transfer, change of location, and approval of manager of Section 15 All Alcoholic Beverages Package Store License, Table and Vine Inc., located at 348 East Central Street, Franklin. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, moving on. Next item on the agenda is license transactions. Farmer Brewery Farmers Market license, Rushford Brewery. Jamie?
Thank you.
Yeah, I think,
are they here?
Are they on Zoom?
Yep.
Eric? Let's just hold on 1 second. You're getting promoted up, Eric, to the panelists. I think Rushford & Sons Brew House are applying for a license. They're a local business out of Upton. I think Eric's there, and he's looking to participate in our farmer's market in the summer. So Eric, do you have a couple quick comments about Rushford and Sons Brew House and what your plans are at the farmer's market?
Yeah, thanks so much. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the council. Rushford and Sons, as you said, we're a local brewery in Upton, Massachusetts for the past 4 years. Recently, Governor Healey allowed, approved the ability for local breweries to sell cans to go at farmers markets the same way that wineries are. Mm-hmm. It's a great addition to farmers markets, right? It helps, it's kind of one of those rising tide raises all ships. Yeah, we're just looking to do that. We're in your package, you'll find our TIP certification, right? We're transporting it, Mass Department of Agriculture located, and it's really just a fun way to participate in those farmers markets and help out with other towns.
And Eric, thank you very much for choosing the Franklin Farmers Market. I know a lot of communities have them, and you know ours is on Friday, and I hope that worked out for your schedule, but we're very grateful for you. You know, it's only an exit or two down 495, but thanks for joining the Town of Franklin Farmers Market, which has been bigger and better every year, and thank you to for showing up.
Really Absolutely, thank you so much for having us.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Councilor Hamlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, Eric, I actually work in Halston, and I know the Goodmans. We're going to put in a Rushford & Sons tap room there. I'm very excited for that business, and I love your beer, and you guys are great people, and will be a great addition. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Brian, Rushford is away on vacation right now. Brian is at another meeting, so here I'll let him know. We're excited. Again, we're excited to do business with Alice. It's going to be great. So glad you enjoy it.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Mr.
I think we should put the transaction on the floor. So clerk will read the license transaction.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is license transaction for Farmer Brewery, Farmer's Market License, Rushford & Sons Brew House, LLC. Doing business as Rushford & Sons Brew House, located at 8 Grove Street, Upton, Mass. 01568. This is a request for Farmer Brewery, Farmer's Market License to allow samples and sale of malt beverages in sealed containers at the Franklin Farmer's Market, pursuant to Massachusetts General Law Chapter 138, Section 15F. Mr. Chairman, this is a motion to approve the issuance of a Farmer Brew Farmer's Market license to Rushford & Sons Brew House, LLC, doing business as Rushford & Sons Brew House.
Second.
Motion and a second. Now let's go to discussion. Councilor Frangillo.
I guess I would echo my gratitude, but also say you're welcome. You're joining one of the best farmers markets around. You'll enjoy your time here.
Perfect.
Any other comments or questions from the council? Councilor Sheridan.
When is the first farmers market?
June
6th.
June.
First Friday in June.
We're ready.
Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good luck. It's a competitive market, and it's a great place to do your fairs. I think you'll enjoy yourself. I live maybe two or three blocks from the Common, so I try to frequent that fair, so I'll have to stop by and sample your wares. Look forward to it.
I'm
going to take it home.
Any further
discussion? I
can't
make it down the street without drinking.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Good luck.
Thank you all.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's do the last legislation for action, and then we'll go back to the budget. Okay, resolution 25-31, acceptance of gifts, senior center, $180. Clerk will read the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is resolution 25-31, acceptance of gifts, Senior Center, whereas the Franklin Senior Center has received generous donations in the total amount of $180 to be used at the discretion of the department as follows. Senior Center, $180, donations to be applied at the discretion of the Senior Center Council on Aging Gift Fund to provide services and programs to senior citizens in the Franklin community. Donor information is included in the May 22nd, 2025 Town Council meeting agenda packet. Now, therefore, be resolved that the Town Council of the Town of Franklin, on behalf of the Senior Center, gratefully accepts these generous donations to be used at the discretion of the department for the purposes noted above. This resolution shall become effective according to the provisions of the Town of Franklin Golden Rule Charter.
Move resolution 25-31.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion. Other than a big thank you for the continued support of our Senior Center and all our other departments in town, thank you so much. So, seeing no further discussion, the vote will come on the motion to approve resolution 25-31. A majority vote's required. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, now we will go back to the public hearing on the FY26 Town Council Annual Operating Budget. I will declare the second hearing open. And as everybody's aware, we did get through the entire budget last night. I think we finished about 11:01. We did get through the entire budget. So rather than go through every line item this evening, what I'd like to do is open it up to if anyone has any questions for any item on the budget, we will address it this evening. I also would like to remind everybody that this is the second public hearing, and at the end of this public hearing, I will entertain a motion to continue this public hearing until June 4th, which is the day after the override election. And whether we vote the budget that we've just gone through, or whether we have to make cuts if the override fails, that will happen on that night, which is why I feel continuing the public hearing to the 4th rather than opening a new one. So there'll be no legislation to vote anything tonight as far as the budget goes, other than to continue the public hearing till June 4th. So with that, as again, this is a public hearing, so I will open it up to the public first. Is there anyone in council chambers that has a question on any line item within the budget? Please, name and address.
Yes, Mark Minicali, 31 Longfellow Drive. just a simple question regarding the assuming that the override vote does not pass, I know there were line items that were lined up in all of the materials, including estimates about where the different resolutions were going to be coming from, by department. Is there any way we could get an estimate as to, let's say, I know the police chief is here in the room, there was $250,000, I believe, that would have to be reduced out of the police budget. Any way that we could get a feel for how many officers or people or headcount that would roughly represent?
Two.
And that was my next follow-up. Fire would be two, roughly.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't want to speak for the superintendent directly, but, you know, I believe you're probably somewhere in the range of a dozen to a dozen and a half, you know, employees, you know, probably in the school department. I think it's difficult because their budget is so large, and they have a lot more room to move around things, and they've done the redistricting, and I think redistricting, given that they're getting ready for that in September, they may be able to just, again, maybe make some moves that, you know, maybe withstand some of that pain. But, you know, like I said last night, Mark, just a very small example. The fire truck borrowing came in lower than we had estimated in this budget model. So, you know, as I said, one of the reasons the superintendent and I didn't want to put out a list of cuts is because, one, you know, the reaction some people have, yay or nay, to like very specific people or protecting those staff from, you know, some tenor today that can be pretty mean. And also, things change. Healthcare changes. I mean, we had a model in here. The employees voted in April to do that. You know, there may be a few bucks, like the deck, that may be able to be switched. So that's a big reason why we put a list and a menu of the likely cuts. And I think the germane point, in my view, is, you know, we hear that, we talked about this last night. Oh, they find the money. Jeff always found the money. There's bags of money all day, whatever. You know, and that's just not happening. These cuts are going to be roads. It's going to be DPW. There's going to be layoffs for sure on the municipal and school side. There is no more tricks up sleeves. There are some edges we can round out, like the debt, you know, and some updates and things. You know, but, you know, and, you know, as we move forward, for example, too, when we have a better idea, superintendent and I are working together. We met this week on this issue to try to prepare for the 4th if the news isn't good. We're going to meet again next week, and we're trying. Our goal is to come out with a package of proposals that we agree on, or at least we're pretty close to agreeing on, to try to at least give the community some, you know, some breathing room to be able to say, okay, you know, we're working together on these things, and here are the assumptions we're going to change. The state budget process is in action too. There's a lot of information coming out from the federal government. I'm reading it every single day, everything that comes out of DC, to get an idea of what the prospectus looks like. Superintendent and I are talking about that on a weekly basis. So we're trying to use our best educated guesses based on what's happening in the federal level and state level. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, whether it's fire, police, teachers, municipal staff, you know, at some point, you know, people have to realize there will be layoffs, they will hurt, they will be noticeable. And if the override, you know, doesn't pass, you know, people are going to feel it. Some people may not, of course, but they may not care or see it, or maybe, you know, their decision is respected, that maybe they just can't afford it right now or whatever the deal is. But if it doesn't pass and we go into FY27, you know, we can be in a pretty dangerous situation. I mean, we're now in a situation with call volume for fire and police in particular. Snow and ice removal may not have snowed this winter very much, but you know, you lose a couple DPW staff. Sounds like no big deal, maybe the lawns, whatever, but those are people plowing snow too. Those are also people shoveling and plowing snow at schools. Sidewalks, walking areas. If this doesn't pass, my big fear, obviously, we talked about it a little bit last night, what about next fiscal year? What about the fiscal year after that? And then after that? You're getting to a point where some of the emergency situations are going to be very serious. If a third ambulance is eliminated, you know, how do you get that back? You know, I know you kind of know a lot about this, but maybe for the folks that may be watching at home, with call volume going through the roof, concerns about mutual aid from other towns, you know, we could be in a pretty dire situation. You know, so I think what the superintendent tried to do is just put out a menu of likely areas of what the next round of cuts would be. And I can assure you what was on that list, a majority of what's there will occur within that range. Is it exactly 250,000? You know, no, those are just round numbers. Is it exactly 50 for the library? I tried to just, and the 54% for the schools was to articulate that if you proportionally reduced that same percentage at 54% of the budget, what would that number look like? To give some context to the community, so.
Thank you for clarifying. I feel it's important to remind people that these are not just expense dollars that we can cut. It's going to be people. And for for people, critical services like police and fire, that people's health and welfare depend upon, it's gonna have an impact, potentially. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Is there anyone else in council chambers that has a question on any line item within the town's budget? Okay, is there anyone out in Zoom land that has a question on any line item within the FY26 budget? So, see any hands going up? Is there Councilor Jones?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to continue.
1 second. I want to give the councilors an opportunity to ask him a further question. Councilor Cormier Ledger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And mine is more of a statement, so it's on the record for those that are watching. There continues to be a pretty strong thread on social media that somehow, some way, baked into this budget and baked into the override conversation is a new police station for Franklin. And I just need to, for the 1,200th time, maybe, say publicly that there is no police station in this budget. We've never voted on moving a police station to a debt exclusion vote, or all that's happening with the police station is simply discussions about possible locations and architect drawings and feasibility, and is Davis there a suitable location, and certainly lots of community conversation and engagement, which I appreciate. But this vote, this budget, and this override have absolutely nothing to do with building a new police station for Franklin. So as much as I try to be the Facebook warrior and intercept all of those and tell people that they're no, because people are saying, well, I'm voting no because I don't want a new police station and we can't afford it. Well, that had nothing to do with each other. So please put in every place you can to make sure that people understand that that is, and I don't know, maybe last year's MOU is still on people's minds where it mentioned a police station. Maybe that's still bugging folks. I don't know. But clearly, we got a disconnect here because it's not just like one person. It's a lot of people. And just wanted to say publicly, Mr. Chairman, that that's not happening. So.
Thank you, Councilor Cormier Ledger. Any other councilors? Councilor Frangillo.
I also just had a quick statement that I had written down. My name was provoked in some of the comments yesterday, so I just wanted to respond to say that I didn't feel comfortable with that. A, there was a characterization of some of my comments from over a year ago. I wanted to double check to make sure it didn't sound like me, and I went back, and sure enough, it was a mischaracterization of my statements at the time. But nonetheless, it was suggested that we could just stop paying people more money, and that would be a path to fixing our fiscal situation. And I just, if we don't pay competitive salaries, we will see valuable public servants flee the town, and we'll be left with the repercussions of staff overturn, low morale, and task paralysis. Freezing wages is not fiscal responsibility. It's suicide in order for our town to continue to thrive. We must continue to invest in the personnel that makes us thrive.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilor Angelo. Councilor Hamlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have a question either, but I do have a statement. I would like to thank the Joint Budget Committee and what they did, what we all did, the FinCom, all the town staff, the school district staff, for all the work on this budget process that was, feels like it was a whole year, but it was probably only 10 months or something. But I mean, another thing that comes up all the time that I would like to say, I would like to try to give out some real information, not the misinformation out there. When people say that they're gonna vote no because of the development in town, what you're doing is you're hurting yourself. You're hurting the people in your community. You're hurting the children in your community. Development and new growth is part of the revenue. So they are actually connected with your taxes. We need new growth to pay for the things the same way we need local receipts and your property taxes. It's all combined together. You can't have one without the other. You can't have a lot of really good services, no new growth, and low taxes. It doesn't work that way. Unfortunately, that is the way it is. And as a council, we saved a lot of land. We saved over 200 acres, which took away the potential for new growth in that area. But we wanted to save it for the future. And so we have to allow for growth in areas that won't add to our infrastructure costs. And that's what's in the master plan, and that's what we have to do. But if you vote no because you don't like the development, you just totally, you'll hurt people, you will hurt yourself, and you will hurt your own property taxes. Property values, I mean. So, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Hinton. Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just two things. One, a huge thank you to everybody who worked hard and diligently to make this budget what it is today. I mean, it's a lot of work that goes into this. I think this is my 16th?
I was going to say 20th.
15th budget that I've looked at over these years. And this is just superb work. So I want to compliment the staff on all of the hard work that made this possible. The second thing, Mr. Chairman, is to put out a motion to continue these budget discussions to the June 4th meeting at 7 p.m.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, motion to adjourn.
Before we adjourn, I neglected, because I buried it under the million papers I have up here, under announcements from the chair, upcoming town-sponsored events. We have the June 3rd Proposition 2.5 Override Special Election on June 3rd from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. In-person early voting. The final day for early voting is Friday, May 30th. Saturday, May 24th is the last day to register to vote. If you've got any questions at all, please call the town clerk's office at 508-520-4900. In observance of Memorial Day, the Franklin Municipal Building will be closed on Monday, May 26th. The Memorial Day Parade will take place on Monday, May 26th at 11 a.m. Parade starts at Horace Mann, will end at the Common. Following the parade, there will be a Memorial Day ceremony at 12 p.m. on the Town Common by the War Memorial. The Rec Department is temporarily relocating to the Parmenter Elementary School, located at 235 Wachusett Street, beginning Monday, June 23rd. The Recreation Office will be closed on Friday, June 20th, to facilitate the move. The Town of Franklin is seeking poets and writers to contribute original works focused on mental health, healing, and positivity for Overdose Awareness Day on August 31st and National Suicide Awareness Month in September.
For submission guidelines and additional information, please visit the Arts, Culture, and Creative Economy page on our website. And with that, Mr. Jones, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Non-debatable. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, one and all.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.